141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. The final Old Firm meeting of the season sees a share of the spoils, meaning it stays 17 points at the top. There were big wins for the likes of Hibs, Hearts, Motherwell, Kilmarnock and Falkirk are coming up to join us in the Premiership. Daizen Maeda is named Player of the Year, Lennon Miller Young Player of the Year and John McGlynn Manager of the Year. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
Well, it was a weekend for winners, as you say, Gordon. Congratulations to Daizen Maeda, Lennon Miller and John McGlynn. Congratulations to Motherwell, Andy, safe in the Premiership for another season. Another win for Killie as well in the bottom six, and Hearts in the bottom six. Wins in the top six for Hibs, who look cemented in third place now, and for St Mirren. But I tend to think the next couple of hours we might not be talking about wins, we might be talking about a draw.
Yeah, all the league winners across Scotland are decided. Congratulations to Falkirk. I think they're a very welcome addition into the top flight. Don't tell producer John I said that, because I was extremely annoyed at the pitch invasion that I seen at the weekend, not allowing people to take corners. But so. And it was a hugely uneventful Old Firm game yesterday, it must be said. But I'm sure some events will end up creeping up over the next 2 hours.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. What did you make of it over the weekend? Plenty of talking points, as Roger Hanna says. It is awards season, so were the right people chosen by their fellow pros? Daizen Maeda, Player of the Year. I don't think we'll hear too many arguments, but I'm here to be surprised. Lennon Miller, Young Player, and John McGlynn, Manager of the Year. What about Ibrox yesterday then? It was never going to change anything, really, was it? So with that in mind, a draw certainly didn't change anything. The gap stays at the top. Rangers have shown that they're sort of fine and capable in a match over the 90 minutes at times. Celtic, of course, go away with the title in the bag and show why they're dominant over the course of the season. As always, there are talking points within the games, whether that's players that played well, players that didn't play well, refereeing decisions, the manager's part in it all. I think on this occasion, it's probably more about Barry Ferguson, because we don't quite know what the future is for the Rangers manager's office. So give us your thoughts on all of that and more. There's always controversy and talking points when these sides meet on and off the pitch. So 0141 951 1025. Across Saturday and the weekend, Falkirk fans, if you've sobered up, I would like to hear from you. You might have done it the hard way in the end, but you're heading back to the top flight. How does it all feel? How did you celebrate? How much did you enjoy it over the weekend? The team are in Ibiza now, so I'm sure they'll be enjoying themselves. But what did you make of it? Give us a call. Motherwell fans, how relieved are you? What an achievement it is to stay in the top flight for 41 seasons when pretty much every other team in the country, apart from two big exceptions, have been out of the top flight in that time. What did you make of the win at Dens Park? I know what Tony Docherty made of it. He was not happy with the referee, so you can give us your thoughts there. St Mirren fans, all of a sudden, you're going to be back in Europe next season. I hold my hands up. I was probably one of those that thought the post-split fixtures were just about ending the season on a high. You can even afford to sell to Jose Olasanya and not worry about the impact. Well, all of a sudden, you could be getting into Europe. So how did you see your win at the weekend? Hibs fans, is that you on for third now? Lots to get through at the bottom. St Johnstone, long way back. 0141 951 1025. Call us right now. And to set the tone, Andy Halliday, Roger Hanna, give us your result of the weekend.
Well, this is written down for me by producer John. Your result of the weekend, Roger, has to be Falkirk 3, Hamilton 1. The Bairns are back.
Can't argue.
You can't really argue.
You can't. Andy
refused to give it to Falkirk for reasons that he's touched upon already.
Doesn't like pitch invasions, apparently. He's a killjoy.
Well, I've got an incident in that game that's going to get an award later on in the segment, but I'm going to go for Motherwell as a result of the weekend. As you said, staying in the top flight for 41 years, I think it's an incredible achievement. I thought the game in isolation as well, I thought, well, very, very good, and especially going down to 10 men, I think everyone, even for the outset, thought a point wouldn't be a too bad a result to try and guarantee safety in the league, but obviously 10 men and going and getting the win at the end, I thought was thoroughly deserved.
Goal of the weekend?
I'm going to go for David Watson. Yes. I thought it was a a brilliant bit of individual quality for the PFA Young Player of the Year last year. And he's had a fairly strange season, David Watson, a fairly quiet season. Obviously, found his sell out of the team for large parts. And it's got to be said, you know, Kilmarnock's upturning form coincides with him coming back into the side. He's putting a lot of big performances. And I thought he scored a fantastic goal at the weekend as well.
I'll go for Michael Mandron. Big goal for St Mirren. You mentioned him there just now. They're edging closer to that top five, beating Aberdeen at home, and a good way to end a week in which you've signed a contract extension to stay in Paisley.
Michael McMandron, as he's now known. Did I see him throw his CU Jimmy hat in the ring for a Scotland call-up last week?
I spoke to the big fella about this a couple of years ago. He does have a bit of family history in Scotland, and he would cherish a cap.
There you go. I'll bet he would. Where does that leave us? Howler of the weekend?
Well, I'm going to go to the Falkirk game on Friday night. I think the whole country was watching that game. And when Robinson scores that goal, I think everyone exactly said the same thing. Uh-oh, what's going on with Falkirk? Is their bottle going to go? Are they going to let it slip again? And then Dean Wynas and the Hamilton goal had other thinking, because I don't know how Ethan Ross's free kick goes in. It's straight down the middle of the net. I usually refrain to give it to goalkeepers. I always feel a bit sorry for them, but I think that was a stone wall for me for the howler of the weekend.
I'll go for the rather unsavoury incident at Ibrox yesterday with the bottle thrown on by a Rangers supporter into the Celtic penalty box. We've seen this kind of thing before. It has been condemned before. I'll condemn it again. And I would like to see strong action by Rangers. They put a statement out last night about various incidents at the game. Anyone can put statements out. They need to take action. I'm amazed no action has been revealed today. I hope it gets fast tracked.
Your top man, top performer of the weekend?
I'm going to go for Nicholas Raskin. It's the third Old Firm game in a row that he's picked up the Player of the Match award. And I thought he was outstanding yesterday. I thought even when Rangers didn't have any control of the game, I thought he stamped his authority all over the game. The most shots in the game, the most tackles in the game. I thought he was heavily involved throughout for anything positive for Rangers. And I think every single summer we're talking about players that could potentially leave Celtic for big money. I think Nicholas Raskin for Rangers is one that's going to attract a lot of suitors in the summer.
Lauren Shankland is maybe not rocket science to put the centre-forward back at centre-forward. The caretaker manager Liam Fox came in, put Shankland back to his best position. He scored two goals. He had an assist for Alan Forrest third. Hearts are now safe, and suddenly it looks as if, you know, a little bit of order has been restored.
Come on then, 01419511025. Give us a call. What did you make of events at Ibrox yesterday? There is a lot going on there. What did you make of games over the weekend, Friday and Saturday? It's Player of the Year season as well. Was it the right choice? Daizen Maeda, Lennon Miller, young player, John McGlynn, the manager. Goal of the season, if you want to debate that, was Jack Iredale of Hibs, but that's a fan vote to that one. So again, give us a call please, 01419511025, or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Give us your thoughts then overall, Andy, on yesterday, Ibrox.
I think it's one of the games that in 10 years time you'll see a clip of probably Adam Eda's goal or Cyril Dessers goal and think, what game is that from? Because it was it wasn't a classic. I don't think it's one that's going to live long in the memory. I thought both teams were disappointing in terms of their overall quality within the game. I thought Celtic had loads of control, a lot more control than Rangers did, but I thought Rangers had more, I'd say more penalty box entries, more shots on goal. So for me overall, I thought a draw was a fair result.
It's a fair result, and it's one that it kind of suited both teams. Celtic didn't want to end the season off the back of three league defeats in the trot to Rangers. Rangers didn't want to end the season with a home defeat in front of their own fans against Celtic. It just about evened itself out, I would say. Everyone can go home with their head held high, apart from a few Rangers fans.
I think the real sort of chance, the real biggest chance in the game was that Daizen Maeda chance in the last minute.
Now that I think about it, how did that escape Howler of the Week treatment? To be fair, it's usually a tongue-in-cheek, light-hearted award. You've gone down the serious route tonight, Roger Hannah, which is fine. You've gone the goalie.
Yeah,
how did we miss it?
Well, I think he still has a lot to do considering where he picks the ball up. So he has
once he gets there, any chance of just rolling it to the side?
Well, you try and travel back to Japan and then travel 60 yards up the pitch in the 93rd, 94th, 95th minute, whatever it was.
Remember when he scored after 30 seconds at Ibrox?
Yeah.
That was a far, far harder chance. You know, less likely to... You're of an XG.
But the one that gets blasted off his legs?
You're an XG generation, man, Gordon. The XG for the one we ended up in an eight will be a lot lower than the one that he missed yesterday.
Anyway, give us your thoughts on yesterday. James and Blurnock's going to kick us off. James?
Hi, quite I know.
Hi, James.
How you doing, James?
What did you make of it?
Yeah, what it is yesterday's Old Firm game.
Mm-hmm.
The court, and the thing, mate. He couldn't. I think Celtic might have won that game if the two players were fit.
But James' line broke up a bit. I could hear it and I'm going to piece it together. I think you were saying, James, if Alistair Johnson and Kuhn were fit, or was it Jota and Kuhn?
Kuhn, because they've got goals in fit and I'm not.
Two Kuhns.
I keep missing the first one. It's somebody in Nicholas Kuhn.
Well, so listen,
they were the three that were obviously missing.
Celtic were four definite starters. Absolutely, you know, Schmeichel, Johnson, Jota and Kuhn. But this time of the season, there'll not be a team in the country who could pick, you know, their top strength team. Look at the Motherwell players, you know, at the back who are missing. So teams they're going to miss players. I think if yesterday's game had any sort of significance in terms of a league title, Johnson would have played and Kuhn would have played. There's no any question about that.
Definitely would have.
They're both being managed towards being ready. I think Roger spoke about it after the game. They're both being managed towards being available for the Scottish Cup final. I think Kasper Schmeichel's target is to be ready for the Scottish Cup final. Cameron Carter-Vickers is now going to sit out a couple of games to rest that hamstring complaint ahead of the Scottish Cup final. So they will all be there, with the notable exception of Jota, and wish him well in his recovery.
I suppose, Andy, I think, like, in isolation, if you take a game that's one each, it's quite evenly balanced. Celtic have a big chance to win it. And then you say, if you add Jota, Kuhn, Johnson to that, Celtic might win. I don't think in isolation that's a controversial take.
Mm-hmm.
But then Roger's right. It just, you know, what was the one earlier in the season when Rangers won 3-0? Did they not have Sterling, missing, Jeff Day, Yilmaz and Proper as the back four? And
Yilmaz played it right back.
At the time, Liam Kelly played because Jack Butland was injured rather than the tactical change. So, yeah, maybe they went off yesterday, but you can see that for loads of games.
Yeah, I think it's speculation. I think when you watch the game, I think Celtic's front three was extremely quiet, a lot quieter than they normally are. I actually think the liveliest out the front three probably was James Forrest, who played due to the expense of Nicholas Kuhn being absent. I thought he was lively throughout without causing a whole load of problems in the final third for Rangers. I do think Anthony Ralston and Greg Taylor, I thought they seen an awful lot of the ball, especially in the first half, and Dimon had a great deal of ideas or plans of what to do with it. I think the two of them actually looked shocked at how much space they had inside Ibrox any time they did pick up the ball. Obviously, with Rangers taking the diamond approach and thinking that Celtic's fullback will invert the pitch and it'll be easier for them to press. But as soon as the two fullbacks just held the width and stayed outside, they got a lot of the ball, a lot of space to drive into. And I just thought they were a wee bit too passive at times. I thought Anthony Ralston was a wee bit too keen to sort of get the ball and go back to Cameron Carter-Vickers and switch the play and start again. So I think Alistair Johnson, for sure, I think was a massive miss in the game yesterday. But I thought James Forrest, to be honest, I thought he actually did okay, especially in the first half.
I'm going to give you my Hugh Keevan-style prediction now.
Jeez.
James Forrest is going to score the winner in the Scottish Cup final.
Fairy tale stuff, that
one. Because he's not scored this season.
Because he hasn't scored this season. I actually wondered if he would score yesterday, you know, when he got the start. I thought, well, this is maybe going to be the game. He can't possibly go through a season without scoring a goal. I think it's just set up for him.
Well, here's my Hugh Keevan style prediction. Celtic will get a penalty in the last three games and James Forrest will take that penalty.
We'll see. James, are you happy enough? Because it's a draw, you move on, it stops that mini run of Rangers wins, or are you still a bit annoyed that you've not won any of the last couple of games against Rangers?
No, not at all, Gordon. But what I'm just actually following up just to see what your thing me on that. Are they two players, they three players were playing for Celtic? Do you think it would mean Celtic more stronger?
I mean, you would have to say yes as a prediction, but
of
just
course it would, yeah.
Like we said, that you would go across loads of teams across Britain, world football this week. You've got players missing and you try.
It's really like Brendan Rodgers in a fortunate position because Celtic have done so well in the league. He can take that decision to take Kuhn and Johnson out the firing line. He's going to take Carter-Vickers out the firing line for a couple of games now. You know, there are other managers who don't have that luxury. And if Celtic do beat Aberdeen at Hampden on the 24th of this month with a near full strength side, he'll be able to look back and say he was right to give these players a rest.
Yeah, I agree. They weren't at their full strength and they weren't at their best, and I thought Rangers were pretty much the same. When I was watching the game, you know what it's like, you kind of commentate to yourself throughout it, and I remember thinking as well, Dyson made it, it's the quietest I've seen him in an old firm. I thought James Tavernier dealt with him extremely well, and then I find out the news after the game that he's travelled back for Japan 2 days earlier. I couldn't believe it. He must have had that bit of jet lag travelling back.
Hold on a wee minute. You commentate to yourself during the game?
I always talk to yourself through it, and I remember thinking during the game, I said, Dyson made this quiet.
He just means his head.
Yeah,
you know,
loud. I don't practice with a fake microphone.
You don't sit with Jilly and just talk her through
it? No, definitely not. But it was a quiet one. And then I think it's the one where James Tavernier does go over Dyson Maeda at the end of the game and says, you know what, he deals with the battle well. And it's James Tavernier that gives the loose pass away in the 94th minute when Dyson Maeda breaks through, and you think, you know what the calls are going to be this weekend, but he obviously doesn't manage to put it away.
Yeah, what did you make of that moment at the end? I think it's probably for the best for Hamza Egeman's well-being that it didn't go in, because Barry Ferguson was not happy with him, was he, when he took that quick throw-in and it eventually led to Celtic getting that chance.
Few people unhappy. Vashilov Chirney seemed unhappy again, didn't he?
Yeah, very much so. Thank you to James and Blornock. What about Craig to give us the Rangers' perspective on it all? Craig?
Hi guys, good evening. Just a quick one on the first caller there saying about if Kuhn and Jota had been playing, were they not playing when Rangers won at Parkhead? So I don't really get what his point on that is. I think Smyko and Alistair Johnson were playing as well. But anyway, I digress.
See, to be fair though, in isolation, Craig, you're talking about, you know, if a game's as even as it was yesterday, I don't think it's mad to suggest that your better players can then tip that in your balance. But, you know, you're both right. I just don't think it's one that is that deep.
Aye, no. I mean, as I say, it's usually that on that first call. Like, obviously, all four of them were playing last game when Barry won. But anyway, my point is, last time I was on, I was saying I wasn't going to any more games. You know, I changed my mind yesterday morning and went to the game. I agree with what Andy said at the start of the show. It was a really poor game, I felt. And on the way back, I felt like it felt a bit like a friendly. I know Old Firm games are never friendlies, but that's the kind of game you would have probably saw off that Sydney fiasco. You know, it went ahead a couple of years ago when they wanted to play the game over there. I just felt it was really flat. Even in the stands, I didn't think it was like much an atmosphere, to be honest. Even people around me were like, oh, it's a bit of a chore coming today. But, Nico Raskin, for me, I think he is the one. I heard Andy saying at the start of the show, he's probably going to attract suitors in the summer, which I agree with. But for me, I would be trying to tie him down on a new long-term contract. And I would be dangling that captain's armband in front of him, because he obviously wore it in the New Year derby game. I think my mind might be playing tricks on me, but I would be giving Nico Raskin the captaincy for next season, because I wouldn't say he's the best midfielder in Scotland, but he's Rangers' best midfielder, in my opinion. And like Andy was saying, that's three derby games in a row that he's really shone. And people were saying, oh, well, he won't be able to do that when he comes up against Callum McGregor. And he proved that yesterday. So that's my kind of main point. I've got a second point about...
Andy, you want to pick up on that?
I thought Nico Raskin was excellent again. I thought when Rangers couldn't sort of get any control within the game, I thought he stamped his authority all over the game, the amount of interceptions he won, the amount of turnovers he forced into Celtic, and the amount of times he drove Rangers up the pitch. You know, for being that middle of the, or the bottom of the diamond, shall we say, he found himself in so many advanced areas. He actually had Rangers more shots individually as well, so it shows how much he was breaking into the box. And I thought that was just a player that just showed his character and stamped his authority within the game to try and make things happen for Rangers. Now, I think the funny thing is that Rangers have found a way to hold on to their assets for too long previously, to the point that they don't then get a fee for them, or certainly don't demand a fee for them that was what their fee once was. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with dangling the carrot by offering Nico Raskin a long-term contract, but I don't think it's one that you shouldn't shy away for welcoming offers. I think if you can get the type of fee that you can command for a guy that's just made his Belgium debut and get man of the match in that game as well, I think you should be willing to listen to the offers, especially with how big the transition we expect Rangers squad to get.
Is it even harder, and probably Craig and Andy can mention this, can answer this, is it even harder though for Rangers fans to get their head round that, because they haven't had this in recent seasons, so they've not almost got into that mindset, into that habit of accepting that you get a good player, he contributes, you move him on for money. because I can almost imagine a lot of Rangers fans go, no, you can't sell Nicholas Raskin. You need to build a team around him. But the whole point is, you need to sell somebody at some point. You need to get the ball rolling with this.
You mentioned at the top of the show, it's award season. I'm going to make an award up now, Gordon. Most improved player of the season. I think Raskin would be a contender for that, because
that's another one you want to win, though, is it?
No, but if you remember, he was bang average during Philip Clement's first season. Everyone thought he would kick on because it was, you know, a Belgian player and a Belgian manager, and he was rotten. This season, he has absolutely found his game. He's getting better and better. Craig's right. He really impressed when he was captain in that Old Firm win at Ibrox at New Year. Then in that performance where I think he scored one and set one up in the win at Celtic Park. And he's hugely impressed with performance yesterday. I think people were. He is getting better and better and better. You wonder what his ceiling is. And you just wonder what type of offer Rangers might get from in the summer. You know, what Rangers' valuation of the player is and what other teams' valuation of the player is currently.
I think the point you were mentioning there, I think loads of Rangers fans are saying the same thing, is there's going to be a huge turnover of players, but build the team around Nico Raskin. Now, Roger just mentioned the Philippe Clement era at the end awards, the season before, and everyone says there's going to be a huge turnover of players, but we build the team around Jack Butland. Now, look what's happened to Jack Butland over the last year or so, and look what's happened to his value within Rangers and the team. So I think while your player and while your stock's really, really high, and an offer comes in that matches that value, I think the situation Rangers are in, I think
I need to stop you both because we're already late for the break, but I do want to make Craig make his final point so we're not cutting him off. Make it sharp if you can, Craig.
Just very quickly, I know you wouldn't want to dwell on this, but just the kind of the stuff going on from the Copeland stand, every Rangers fan absolutely condemns it, and I hope whoever was throwing the stuff on the pitch gets a lifetime ban. But the one thing I would say on it is, it's not just a one-way thing. You know, it happens at the other side of the city when we go there, and it's been happening. You go back to Fernando Rixon getting hit with stuff. So I think this narrative, I'm not saying you guys are saying it, but I'm just saying narrative that it's all Rangers fans throwing stuff just needs to be put to bed. Mm. But as I say, I hope whoever it is that done it gets found, gets a season ticket taken off them and a lifetime ban.
Okay, 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It's 01419511025. Give us a call right now, please. Here's what Barry Ferguson made of the performance yesterday.
Really happy with the commitment of the team. Obviously disappointed with just getting a point. You obviously want to come into these games and come away with 3 points. So that's the thing that probably disappoints me. Spoke to the boys after it. As I just mentioned, they're delighted with the commitment and the effort. Just that bit of quality in the final third when we break at times has to be better. That final pass or that attempt on goal, and maybe you take too many touches. But listen, they accept that, they understand that, and that's something that again we'll need to work hard on when we come back into training on Tuesday.
Was there anything particularly in the Rangers' performance, Andy, or the days of analysing that stuff again? Is everybody sort of over that, and they were just, you know, trying to win the game, and everyone's moving forward and looking to what's next for the club?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty fair assessment, to be honest. I thought their desire within the game, I thought their commitment within the game was fine. I thought it was just that lack of quality. I don't think they had as much control as Celtic in possession. I don't think they created too many sort of clear-cut chances within it. A lot of it was sort of balls into the box and set pieces, and but I just think that lack of quality, that lack of I like to say style, to be honest with you, and how they sort of fashion out their chances, I just don't think it was there yesterday.
Yeah, I think we've seen Roger, you know, Rangers can definitely cause Celtic problems when it comes to set pieces.
Yeah.
And they picked up a lot of second balls, the guys were commenting yesterday, but maybe as Andy and Barry Ferguson, to be fair, acknowledging there that sort of, you know, deliberate way of carving out chances, maybe just not quite there still.
Yeah, listen, I think Barry Ferguson and Andy and you and me have to assess the game because we have to assess the game. But if all of us are being honest, it's the same situation it was a couple of weeks ago. Rangers' season is over. As soon as they've been out of Europe, the season was over. Fans just want to get these last games played and look to a new era with the 49ers Enterprises, with Andrew Kavanagh, with Kevin Thelwell, and with a confirmed permanent manager and new players. Since the break, a draw at St Mirren, a draw at home to Celtic, performances that, you know, weren't shaking the chandeliers, Gordon. So I would anticipate three more Rangers performances like that, three more post-match analysis from Barry Ferguson and ourselves like that, and then Rangers can start all over again, because this has been another season of underachievement.
Joe's on the line. How are you, Joe?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I just wondered what the panel thought yesterday, because without VAR, Celtic would have lost the game 2-0. You'd a linesman who flagged to disallow a Celtic goal that was onside, and the same linesman didn't flag for a Rangers goal that was offside. And the second sort of part of my question is it any coincidence, since VAR was introduced, the Rangers' penalties and offside goals have dried up, and you've got James Tavernier, who was their top goal scorer, all of a sudden doesn't he get 5 penalties a year?
What do you mean by that? Is it any coincidence?
Well, I just think VAR's been very good for Celtic, very good for Scottish football, and very bad for Rangers.
Wasn't good for Celtic when everyone was moaning about Daizen Maeda and the ball being out at Easter Road, though, was it? You know, it can kind of happen both ways, I guess.
I think over the piece, you know, over the 36 games, I go in most games at Celtic Park, and over the 36 games, VAR's been very, very good. You get the odd genuine mistake or the odd bad call, but VAR's been good for Celtic and VAR's been very bad for Rangers.
I think the KMI panel have actually came out last week with a stat that, you know, errors, there's been more errors against Rangers than there has been against Celtic. So it's interesting that that's the approach that Joe's took.
And I can imagine somebody going, aye, it was good for Celtic and bad for Rangers in the cup final, depending which way you want to look at it. I think the tone of, maybe I've picked you up wrong, I think it's a bit unfair when you mention, well, you know, there's a linesman that flagged for that offside goal and it's a good job VAR was there to correct that. As if I think we've got to be real and fair, and that is why VAR was brought in.
Yeah.
Because see where the linesman is standing. Dyson Maeda is in an offside position.
Yeah.
What he is, he's got no chance of telling if he is in front of Liam Kelly or not. No chance from across there. And I'm being unfair on Joe. In that instance, it was good that it was there. Same the Nicholas Raskin one in the first half. Like, they're going to happen, so it's good to get them cleared up, because it was offside. I don't think there's any complaints.
Listen, the day after an Old Firm game, we're always going to focus on decisions in the Old Firm game. I didn't think there was, of all the weekend's decisions,
and I
think you boys might be honest enough to suggest that Motherwell maybe get favoured by one at Dens Park.
No,
I don't think any of the Old Firm decisions were particularly controversial, you know.
I think we need it to keep us all going, because actually, see, over the last, is that three in a row? Is that three Old Firm games where really there's not really been much?
No.
I mean, we pretend there is.
Yeah,
and I know the cup final was
three.
But realistically, that's now three in a row, and there'll always be something, because how can you not? There's so many eyeballs on it, there's so much scrutiny on it, it's two teams going hell for leather. But again, I think if we're being really honest, in the context of what is a big mistake or what is a big talking point, that's now three.
Yeah.
Three in a row.
Barry Ferguson didn't have that approach after the game. He felt quite disappointed that Rangers didn't.
I was going to say that. Did you think it should have been a penalty on Yanis Hadji?
No, I didn't. I thought Callum McGregor was just intelligent enough to try and get his body across. And I think in the same motion, Yanis Hadji then obviously tries to take a shot at goal. I don't think there was enough to give a penalty there. I actually thought Nick Walsh handled and refereed the game extremely well. I thought he was obviously really, really lenient with cards and didn't want to dish them out too early. The only bugbearer of mine, I wish they would do that every game. It doesn't need to just be an Old Firm where you can referee the game slightly more lenient. But I don't think there was any real big incidents that they got wrong. Yes, the linesman flags on two separate occasions where VAR corrects him. I agree with you in terms of the first one. There's no way that you can see Dyson Maeda's in front of Liam Kelly. And I actually think the Nicole Raskin one, I think there must be about 14 bodies in the width of a sort of 12, 13 yards. But ultimately, VAR overrules him. The two correct decisions get made.
I take it you're everybody, I think, even the most, you know, biased people out there would agree that Dyson, he's just not in Liam Kelly's line of vision, is he? I did wonder at the time. I thought we were going to have a really close one, a big debate.
But I think Nick Walsh, with the assistance of VAR, was it Andrew Dallas in the VAR yesterday? They got everything right. And there's no, I don't know what you and your pal Willie are going to talk about in this next VAR show.
But the last one of the season, you'd imagine, as well. You just round it all off. And
what do you do during the summer? Do you have something else? You ever
just meet up, talk about friendlies,
Wimbledon and the Open golf?
That's a good shout. That yeah. Hawkeye,
then now
compares.
Club World Cup.
That's a great idea from you. I'm going to put that in my diary. Let's bring in Aidan, who's in our Drossen. How are you, Aidan?
Yeah, good guys. How's doing?
Good.
How you doing, Aidan?
What are you thinking?
Listen, I'm following up. It's about there's a bit of Raskin loving, I feel, going on. I don't feel it's warranted by any means. I thought yesterday the best player in the park was Rio Atati, quite clearly. And I was wondering what you guys were thinking. Oh, I know what you guys are thinking of that. I know what you are saying. But
well, I don't think Andy will argue with you on that.
Don't you leave me out of this here.
No,
come on. If you then have a go at Andy.
No. If Gordon likes, he can share. I'd happily let him share WhatsApp messages for during the game. Rio Hatate was Celtic's best player by a country mile for me. And if you've listened to the show, Aidan, for the last few weeks, I think he's somebody that's completely undervalued for a section, and I stress a section of the Celtic support. I think he's one of the players that when you leave, you'll realise how important he is within the team. I think he's that one player that always tries to look for the ball in tight areas and get turned and play forward and be progressive. But I actually thought, even more impressive yesterday was the other side of his game. I thought the amount of loose balls that he picked up in the pitch in tight areas again, and in tight little pockets of space, he would find that pass to flip it out to the fullbacks, whether it be Ralston and Taylor, and find Celtic in loads and loads of space. I thought he was comfortably Celtic's best player on the pitch yesterday. But I thought Nico Raskin for me just tells him.
From 1:39 yesterday, Hatate and Raskin being two best players on the pitch was the message from you. I can't read the next one out though.
There you
go. I can't believe you talk like that on Old Firm Day. My goodness.
1:39, so it'd been after what?
Game's nearly done.
Yeah. Two best players for me yesterday.
But seriously, right, Aidan, so he's given Hatate credit. Are you now not being unfair about saying, you know, Raskin overrated and whatever? If you bear in mind what is it you're saying about him?
I'm saying he's got a lot of love for somebody who's, I wouldn't say he's performed the full season. You know, there's guys talking about big moves and, you know, he's done this and done that. He's turned up in three Celtic games, and sometimes he's looked like Morelos. He's been kicking people. He's been aggressive. But that's basically kind of what he's done. And by that, the Rangers fans have took to him. But no, I don't see what everybody else sees.
Well, he's got Rangers Player of the Year. Aidan, you got Rangers Players Player of the Year. So I think even his peers within Rangers.
It's been a bad season for them.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm not saying there was a whole load of suitors, but I think, you know, Vaclav Chernyi's had a good season. I think there's a couple within there that have had decent seasons, although it's been an overall poor season for Rangers. I think there's been a couple of individuals that have shone through, but I think in Europe as well, I think he's performed really well. And listen, it's not just myself, it's three man of the matches he's got in a row against Celtic, so he has performed.
I think on that you can spin it a different way to look at that and say that, fine then, if this is a bad Rangers team, which I don't think is controversial, if this is a Rangers team that is up against it when they play Celtic, etc. Is it not to his credit that he manages to be man of the match in three of the games?
As I look at the Rangers team yesterday, and I was trying to throw it forward, the first Old Firm game next season will be back at Ibrox, used to be the fixtures work garden. And I was trying to work out in my head how many of that Rangers starting lineup yesterday I thought would be nailed on to start at the start of next season, if you know what I mean. And I probably looked at Suter, Diamandé, and Raskin, and to be honest with you, that was about it. I think, you know, if there's going to be an overhaul at Rangers, I think they'll look to improve in an awful lot of positions. But I thought Suter, Diamandé and Raskin for me are probably the three you would cement in that team. The rest, uncertain. As for Hatate, fantastic entry season. I covered the semi-final against St Johnson for Super Scoreboard a couple of weeks ago, and he just ran the game at Hampden. He was outstanding at Hampden that day. He's finished the season with a real flourish. Andy was talking about bids for Raskin in the summer. Hatate's probably at the minute, not that I'm trying to chase anybody out of Scottish football, but Hatate for me is the Celtic player who'll be most sought after in the summer.
Thank you, Aidan. Let me tell you about this before we go on. You know, many of you will have that like bank holiday feeling, that nice feeling you get when this type of Monday rolls around. Imagine feeling like that every week, because if you win over £500,000, that's going to be the longest weekend ever. Enter Make Me A Winner. You could win £532,000. That's quite a good bit over £500,000. When you hear it, £532,000, text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter for 100 entries into the draw. You can text BANK to 61025. So that's BANK to 61025. You get 100 entries in, and that's £10 plus your standard network rate. Or finally, call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. And all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm Friday. Just answer your phone. The money would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. 0141 951 1025. Do you have a good holiday, by the way? You're looking suitably bronzed.
I had a lovely break, yes.
Showing us up.
Fourth holiday of the year for Roger.
Steady. No, not at all. In Turkey, thank you for all your week.
Here's one. How do you think the Turkish hotel audiences go for the Tony Orlando on the karaoke?
Do you think they like it? No karaoke.
We'll do that clip.
I agree.
No, the end of season. Mrs. Hannah doesn't allow the karaoke.
See, when I heard he was on holiday, it was the first thing I thought. I could just see him in a Turkish karaoke bar. Tony Orlando.
What would it give for you to give us a live rendition?
An illegal substance, I suspect.
We'll consider it when we go for the head waiting for the imminent arrival of Little Halliday.
Okay. No problem at all.
We'll consider it.
We were just discussing during the break that there's a risk that baby Halliday arrives around the time Celtic win the treble.
Yes.
It could be to mark the occasion, wouldn't it?
I know.
If they win it, of course, Aberdeen might come in.
Aye. What weekend that would be.
Jimmy Halliday born. Oh, no, it's a girl, isn't it, for goodness sake. Anyway, in support of the man who broke the treble.
What could you get away with then for a girl? Shading?
No, none. No Aberdeen player name either.
Well, that's true. We're making that a tough choice for you. Tommy's on the line. How are you, Tommy?
How you doing, Clive? One, how's you doing?
Oh, good, Tommy. What are you thinking tonight?
Point is, that Celtic Rangers game at the weekend, I'm absolutely disgusted about that thing getting flung onto the park. And the second point, the Celtic goal. Why did the referee put the flag up then? The referee gone to
The monitor? Yeah, so it's a good, fair question, to be fair, but we've seen enough of them now, I think, Andy. That's because it's not about is Daizen Maeda offside as such, it's is he in front of Liam Kelly? So that's not the factual decision that an offside usually is. Compare it to Nicholas Raskin in the first half. Ref doesn't need to go into the monitor because the lines get drawn, he's offside. That's fine. It's just offside, so the goal gets ruled out. There is a subjective element to the Daizen Maeda one where he's in an offside position, but in the interests of not re-refereeing the game or letting the referee, have the final say, he's the one that's asked to go and assess whether he thinks Daizen Maeda's in front of Liam Kelly or not. So that's kind of the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not only to check if Daizen Maeda's in the line of sight of Liam Kelly, it's also to see if he affects Liam Kelly getting the ball, which in both instances he doesn't. So that's the reason, Tommy, that Nick Walsh was asked to go and rewatch the incident, and ultimately I think the correct decision was made.
Yeah, we don't see it loads, Tommy, but every now and then those types of ones come up. What did you make of the game overall? Do you sort of take a draw as a Celtic fan, knowing that you've won the league and all that, or were you really keen for a win to round off the season?
Well, I was wanting a win at Ibrox, because Rangers beat us twice, one at Parkhead, then I think it was one at New Year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I do wonder what the fallout would have been, Roger Hannah, because we built it up and we spoke about it, and Rangers last won three in a row in the same season, 1996-97.
Yeah.
It would not have changed the title, it would not have changed the big picture, but you just wonder how much it would have stung.
It would have made Rangers fans feel a lot better about a poor season. But then
would it? You know, that's what I'm trying to figure out. A lot better.
It probably would, because they would be able to console themselves over the summer that, you know, prior to yesterday, they'd scored three goals in three consecutive games against Celtic for the first time in a generation as well, Gordon. So if they'd added another win yesterday, I think it would have made them feel a bit better over the sort of summer months. But would it have changed the intentions of the 49ers enterprises and the, you know, the sort of the personnel alterations they're going to be making over the close season? I would doubt it.
I mean, Andy, so we now know what the head-to-head record looks like. It's two wins for Rangers and a draw, so 7 points. A win and a draw for Celtic, 4 points, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is my basic arithmetic.
And it lets people get the narrative that the sides are a lot closer than they probably are, because there's a 17-point gap between the two sides. And it just, again, it just stresses the point of how much Rangers have struggled to beat everyone else within the league. And something that Celtic have done so comfortably.
Stating the obvious, that's massive, isn't it? See, if you lost out in the title by a couple of points and you had the superior head-to-head, you might be able to sort of comfort yourself and say, look, it's just that one off day at St Mirren, or it's those two off days against the Dundee clubs that cost us. But in many ways, having a 3-point advantage, you know, in the head-to-heads, I don't know how much it really
And I think the three of us sitting here are all old enough to remember all the sort of tight run-ins and the title run-ins that both sides have had, and going into every season, you always felt, it's these games, it's these Rangers and Celtic games, who's going to come out on top over the four games that's going to decide the season. I don't think it's proved to be over the last few years, and it certainly hasn't proved to be this year.
Andy, I think it makes it worse, because you're 17 points behind, but you've actually taken three extra points off Celtic. That means against the other teams, you're 20 points worse off than Celtic are. How can that possibly be?
Because we hit the optimists out there, I think we heard some after the game, Rangers fans phoned in, and you're more than welcome to keep doing so, saying, you know, it just shows there's not that much, and like all we need to do is be more consistent against the other teams, as if that's just a small thing. But it's 20 points worth of consistency.
Of course, seven wins.
You know, it's not like that's easy to fix, because if anything, the Celtic games are an anomaly. You know, it's not like it's this small detail that needs tweaked. And what we were speaking about yesterday, Andy, you can put your sort of tactical eye on it, is football's so fluid, where you might become better at something but worse at something else. So who knows, next season, let's say Rangers are better at breaking down St Mirren and breaking down Hibs and breaking down Motherwell, and they've got more of a clear, controlled, defined style of play, that might also go hand in hand with some sort of other weakness that Celtic are then better suited to in this fixture. Nothing's just black and white, is it?
No, it's not. But it's all for us to, I suppose, wait and see. But it's always interesting, because, you know, you're talking about Rangers being 20 points worse off against Celtic than the other teams in the league. All we judge on is, you know, Rangers squad versus Celtic squad. And I think universally everybody agrees that Celtic have a much better squad, a much better starting 11. But Rangers have a better squad than Hibs and Aberdeen and Motherwell and St Mirren, and that's the teams that are not beating. That's the teams that are dropping the points against. And I've been pretty consistent throughout the season that the reason for me that is because they don't have that controlled, defined style that we're talking about. They don't have the patterns of play that Celtic have to break teams down, the rotations in the wider areas, people running in behind and stretching the game. And I think that's, for me, a big, big thing for Rangers, is their style moving forward. And the interesting thing is Barry Ferguson says before the game that he doesn't care about the performance, he only cares about the result. But I think the performance catches up on you, and I think it's caught up with you with Rangers a lot this season.
100%.
Let's move on and hear from Brendan Rodgers on the performance. Here's what he made of it. Thanks to Tommy.
Yeah, I was really pleased with the team's performance. I think that we're obviously playing against Rangers that started off with a diamond, so we had to then find our way through that there. And I thought we had lots of spells where we did. Maybe the final third of the pitch, maybe we were just short today in certain passes and making the final pass, but overall I thought we had really good control of the game. We knew that we probably should go one up, and then from that there, actually a corner that we get, we go behind in the game just before half time. So it's not a great time to concede, but certainly the players, listen, they've done a lot of really good things. We just got to keep our rhythm, keep passing, keep the control in the game, and hopefully eventually the goal will come. So really pleased for Adam. He was a good reference for the team today. And I felt that we were the team that, as I said, with our control and with our playing through, that we felt that we could maybe get something in. Because normally you come here, you normally have 10, 15 minutes where you're really hanging on. But I never felt we had that today. So, pleased that if you can't win it, then of course you don't want to lose it. So, players are really good.
If you thought that was a big game yesterday, let's play one of our own. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, it's a new week on Beat the Pundit. Yes, it's a tough school on a Monday night, but the bigger they are, the harder they fall. 01419511025. Lines close at 7, and your chance to beat the pundit is next. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Why not give them a call? 01419511025. What did you make of events at Ibrox yesterday? Quite a lot going on there, even although it wasn't as meaningful as these fixtures can be. Still plenty of analysis to be done, so give us all your thoughts, please. What about awards season then? It was the PFA Scotland Awards last night. Daizen Maeda, Player of the Year. Is there any one single person out there who's surprised at that, or was that a nailed on victory? Lennon Miller was Young Player of the Year. He got past the likes of Hamza Igeman, Arnott Engels, James Wilson. Was that the right choice? And what about the Manager of the Year, John McGlynn, pipping Brendan Rodgers and David Gray to that award? Were those the right picks? Would you have gone for something different if it was up to you? 01419511025. Falkirk fans, you must be eventually getting back home by now. Why don't you give us a call and we'll play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. Andy's looking to keep his 100% record. He's only a couple of weeks away. He is a couple of weeks away from an invincible season.
It's a big month for you this, Andy, eh?
Huge.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one tonight. How many shows left?
What are we looking at next week? Maybe three?
Three
of the two or something like that.
I wouldn't mind Roger playing the next three then.
And then, of course, it would be your final act on bare feet, because you'll need to go to -1 next season, surely.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Yeah.
Imagine that. Anyway, right, Chris is on. How are you, Chris?
What about you? You're going to -1?
Yeah, good going, yourself.
Yeah, good, thanks. Good, thanks. What did you make of the game yesterday?
Fair result, I think a draw was fair. Rangers had the ascendancy of the first half. I think Celtic had more control the second half, but I think a draw was probably a fair result in the end. A game really lacking in quality overall.
Fair enough, there'll be no draws here. We will separate things with a tiebreaker if we need two heads. It will be Andy Halliday, Tails, Roger Hanna, -1. Might be a good time to play him.
-1?
-2.
Oh, no, no.
-2.
I'll need to take your first answer, Gordon.
-2. Good time to play, would you say?
Yes.
A week in the sun.
Yes.
Tony Orlando in the karaoke.
Three or four other holidays and came back and done all right. You'll be fine.
What was the you sent us a picture of you sunbathing the other day? Quite disturbing. What was the cocktail of choice?
Mark Wilson nailed it straight away. He's obviously a cocktail aficionado.
Oh, he is that.
It was an espresso martini. Very nice. It was
by the
too.
Pool.
Yes.
Interesting. You think you know a guy? Right, heads. It's Andy. Tails. It is Roger. And it is heads. It's Andy Halliday up against Chris. So what we'll do here is give Andy something else to listen to. Chris, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. You are allowed to pass, so you don't have to guess an answer as such. You can pass and move on if you wish, okay?
Yeah, no worries.
Right, good man. 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Which club did Celtic sign Adam Ida from?
Not exactly.
How many Old Firm league games are Rangers unbeaten?
Three.
Who won PFA Scotland Championship Player of the Year?
Pass.
Name either player booked in yesterday's Old Firm game.
John Joe Kenny.
For how many years were Falkirk out of the top flight?
7.
Who are Scotland men's team's next opponents?
Greece.
Where would you find the Norrie McCarthy stand?
Dunfermline.
True or false, James Forrest has scored against Rangers every season he's played against them?
False.
Okay. Andy Halliday, can you hear us? Yes. Are you back?
I'm back.
Oh, good. That took a while. What's wrong?
Just felt quick again.
Oh, well, that should be good news for you then. I've cheated Chris, apparently, to give you extra time. Are you ready?
Yes.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which club did Celtic sign Adam Ida from?
Norwich.
How many Old Firm league games are Rangers unbeaten now?
3.
Who won the PFA Scotland Championship Player of the Year?
Brad Spencer.
Name either player booked in yesterday's Old Firm game.
Bailey Rice.
For how many years were Falkirk out of the top flight?
14.
Who are Scotland men's team's next opponents?
Denmark.
Where would you find the Norrie McCarthy stand?
Dunfermline.
True or false, James Forrest has scored against Rangers in every season he's played against them.
Wow, that's hard. It's got to be false.
Okay.
That's got to be false.
Chris, what do you think?
I guess tight, Gordon. Maybe one in that much.
I think good game, first of all.
Yeah.
Both a you were both a credit to the sport, quite frankly. It was
Scotland's no Denmark anyway, I know that.
Two heavyweights slugging it out. Let's go through and find out. Don't you nearly, that's the closest you've ever been to dropping
a
F-bomb
on
this family show. Norwich obviously was Adam Eda's club prior to Celtic. 3 in a row unbeaten for Rangers. 2 all to kick us off. Brad Spencer is the Championship Player of the Year. And Chris did not get it. Andy did. Andy leads by 1. I think it's a great story, that, because
back to back,
League nominated in League 1, then nominated again Championship. You know, having to step up now, he's going to play in the Premiership.
Yeah,
he's sort of, you know, had an interesting route to get to the Premiership, didn't he? Started at Kilmarnock, he played for Forfar, he's been in America, Wraith with John McGlynn, Falkirk, and now back to back promotions.
Did I see he's played every minute this season?
Yeah, I think that's
impressive.
If you look at that squad as well, it's littered with remarkable stories. It's great the way John McGlynn has pulled all those threads together and sort of, you know, knitted this team, because the couple of lads there, one came from the Lowland League, Cumbernauld,
yep.
One came from university football at Heriot Watt. You've got, you know, the Nisbets and Millers who were at Celtic. You've got all manner of great stories.
Scott Arfield, a bit of stardust coming in January,
100%,
as everybody knows. Yeah, it's a really interesting story. Falkirk fans, are there any sober Falkirk fans who want to join us on the show tonight? Please do. So Andy leads by 1. You both knew that Bailey Rice, or now did Chris? I'm now thinking Chris might need a steward's inquiry. I think, did you call him John Joe Kenny? Just say no.
No.
Right, good. I pretend I didn't either. I actually can't remember. How many years were Falkirk out of the top flight? It's 15. You were close, Andy, but you did not get it. So Andy's still leading by 1. Iceland are the next opposition for Scotland men's team. It's a friendly on the 6th of June. The Norrie McCarthy stand is Dunfermline. I didn't think you were going to get that.
Do you know what's mad? So this is one of the crazy things that happens in Beat the Pundit. I read an article a couple of weeks ago that Dunfermline retired the shirt number. Is it 4?
4, yeah.
And it was because of Norrie McCarthy.
There you go. Because you're what was really stadiums and stuff. That's your one weakness.
Stadiums and squad numbers, yeah. Poor.
And there you go. You've just combined both. You know, Norrie McCarthy's squad number. Yeah. There you go. Anyway.
Read.
He's a big reader. I've always known that about Andy Haldy. He's an intellectual. And we are still with him one in front. True or false, James Forrest has scored against Rangers every season he's played against them. I thought you were going to go for it. I thought you were going to take the bait. But he's not scored against them this season.
Oh yeah, true, yeah.
In fact, he's only scored twice in two different seasons. So it was the 17-18 and then the 18-19 season. So he's done you by 1, Chris. Even if I give you that, Johnny, John Joe, Kenny, whatever it was, I tried my best, but he's beat you hard lines.
Nah, good game, fair play, Andy. You did well there. Brad's been a shocker. I've been reading about that today, so no excuse. That's a problem.
Honestly, Chris. Dyson, my idol. Are you a Celtic fan, Chris?
Ah, he's here to go, Gordon, yeah.
You'll be happy to see him, I take it. And that was never really in doubt, was it, Player of the Year?
No, definitely. I think really well deserved. I think he's, you know, he's been exceptional. I think, obviously, yesterday, really unlucky not to get the winner. And then you find out he's flown about 15,000 miles and you can kind of give him a bit of a cut in the slack there. But yeah, fully deserved. He's been outstanding this season.
And it was great because Celtic had their Player of the Year awards last night as well. So he just did shuttle runs between the Doubletree Hilton and the other Hilton just to get his awards.
He would
Ingles in his back.
I'd love if Fraser Wishart released the stats of how many votes and what the percentage Dyson Maeda votes in the SPL was for the Player of the Year.
Surely there's one show. I honestly think
100% he'd have been in one or two of everybody's vote. I really do think that.
Do you think, did he get, as far as you know, did he get everybody's vote, number one vote in Motherwell?
As far as I know, yeah.
Do you think, Roger?
Well, the thing is, the Celtic players can't vote for him, can they?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where other players come into it. I would imagine of the non-Celtic players, I can't think of who you would pick if you weren't picking Dyson Maeda, if you know what I mean. Would some go for Callum McGregor? Would some go for Nicholas Coote? I'd be really surprised.
He's got to be in the top two if he's voting, wouldn't he?
Surely Fraser, because just tell us exactly Fraser. I mean, the award's given out now. Did they not do that on...
Hold on a wee second. You're asking for a favour from a man who for 6 months of this campaign has been dubbed the Penguin.
Not by, me.
By Gordon DL.
Not by me.
And for the other half of the campaign, been mocked for his long throw technique 30 years ago.
Oh, and you missed it on Saturday in your holiday, as usual.
Oh.
There was real, real preemptive criticism in advance of Fraser's PFA dinner speech.
I take it that was coming from Gordon DL.
Oh, obviously.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
He was furious when he was reminded that it was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just have a good night last night?
It was nice to see the award winners. I was doing a bit of work, a bit of business, a bit of pleasure. So it's hard for me to fully.
Was the Shugster on the vino?
Shugster and Dazzler were on the vino before they left this office because we finished at.
Before the show finished?
Well, listening to some of their comments, we finished at 4 o'clock and the dude didn't start till six. It was not quite enough time to go home. So they had a good time.
Espresso martinis in the house.
Please
drink responsibly. I don't like the tone that this show's taken all of a sudden. No, but seriously, there would be no complaints with their dies in Maeda.
No, I don't think so at all. No, an outstanding player. I would imagine he would be the front runner for the Football Writers Player of the Year award, which is announced in a couple of weeks. I know he's certainly got my vote for it. The one that was fascinated about last night was your dear teammate Lennon Miller. Because when it comes to the Football Writers Young Player of the Year, defending champions David Watson of Kilmarnock, the Scottish Football Writers Young Player of the Year needs to be Scottish. The PFA Scotland Award doesn't. Mm-hmm. And when you saw the shortlist coming out with Arne Engels of Celtic and Hamza Igaman of Rangers, and you think of the people voting and how many Celtic and Rangers fans are going to be among the players, you actually wonder if Lennon was going to win that PFA Scotland Award. And I think it says an awful lot for his consistency and his level of performance this season that he got more votes than Engels and Igaman.
Come on, clear the floor. You are like a proud uncle. You have waxed lyrical about him for many, many months on this show. How pleased were you to see him get the nod?
I was delighted for him. I actually thought he's... biggest competition for the award wasn't even nominated, as you know, and who got my vote for the Young Player of the Year. But I thought
you can tell us who that is.
I voted for Triantis. I thought Triantis was one of the outstanding candidates for the Young Player of the Year award. I actually thought, based on the first 6 months of the season, that Lennon could have been in the shortlist for Player of the Year award. I thought he was that good in the first 6 months, his consistency levels that he showed. Then he obviously got an injury, a tough period of time for himself. But what I love about him, which probably most people don't know, is the length of injury that was predicted. He came back before time in a period within the season where we needed him, and he came back. And his performances haven't been quite what they've been for the 6 months of the season, but still really, really good to get him back in the fold. And I'm just delighted for him that he won his award last night.
Yeah,
and every award adds another $500,000 to the transfer.
Oh, you'd like to think so.
I think, would you say the only real controversial award was the Jack Iredale for the goal of the season? I think it's still a brilliant goal, but I think is that because the fixture that it's in?
It's also the one award that's a fan vote, though.
Yeah.
It's not a player vote, that one.
So the fixture at Edinburgh Derby being live on Sky. I think if that goes against Ross County at home in a meaningless game, I don't know if it gets goal.
What would you have gone for then? Did you see the shortlist?
I think it was it Akil Wright? Ross County, Aberdeen, this is crazy, but see the fact that was in the snow, just made that so much better.
A man who lectures us every Monday about the importance of team goals, that's the least team goal you've ever seen.
But how many team goals were in the nominees?
I don't think it was any.
What was the shortlist gone?
Was it 10?
Nisbet's last week.
I think Kevin Nisbet's like that. Kevin Nisbet's from last week.
I don't think there was a
bias, as you would say.
Cameron Carter-Vickers.
However
many yards it was.
No.
It was just a bit outrageous, so that's what I quite liked about it.
I think O'Hara should save it.
No. It's right in the top corner, isn't it?
Watch it back and tell me if he can save that or not.
You're sounding like Gordon DL.
Hattakis is better in the same game. The opposite, top corner.
Perhaps. Okay. Anyway, John's on the line. How are you, John?
Hello.
Hi, John. What's your point tonight?
Well, I think Brendan Rodgers should have got manager of the year. No disrespect to John McGinn, but it's a league below. What does Rodgers have to do to win this? I think he's won it once. Steven Gerrard got it 1 year, and he won one trophy out of nine. So I just don't understand why Rodgers didn't get it.
I love these debates, John. You know why I like them?
Aye.
Because it's the other managers who vote for the award. So me as a journalist, or Andy as a player, we got off scot free in this.
I wasn't sure if it was.
It's the other managers who vote for it, and you know something, they got lucky because the votes were in 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Imagine Hamilton had won.
Can you imagine if Hamilton had won at Falkirk, or even, you know, somehow there was a combination of results that left Falkirk second in the championship, and John McGlynn get manager of the year on the Sunday night?
But they didn't.
But and they I get
John's point. Like, the pinnacle is obviously winning the top league, but sure, there has to be room for relative achievements.
You know what we'll say to you, Gordon? No one will be happier for John McGlynn than Brendan Rodgers, because
a good relationship,
they have a very close relationship. Brendan employed him at Celtic when he was out of work. They've stayed close. If you look at Falkirk's style of play and you listen to John McGlynn, he will tell you that he learned a lot from his time with Brendan Rodgers. He believes it's made him a better manager when he's going back in for a second spell at management. And Brendan Rodgers would be delighted that John got the award last night.
I mean, Andy, again, there's no right or wrong, and it's not a mad suggestion from John that Brendan Rodgers should win it. But for John McGlynn to win Manager of the Year back-to-back seasons in two different divisions, I think that is a brilliant achievement to do what he's done with Falkirk, because last season was invincible in League One and now straight back up to win the championship.
Yeah, I was just about to say, and the first season of that championship going unbeaten throughout the season, I think they went on, what was it, a 46 game, 46 unbeaten run. And what was the beat the pundit question? How many years were they
15,
out of the, so 15 years before they were in the top flight? And John, I can completely understand if Brendan Rodgers goes and wins a treble for Celtic, it's so difficult not to argue a case that he shouldn't have won the manager of the year. But I think in the championship, you know, with the budget that Falkirk have got, being in and around loads of clubs within the league, I do think he's a worthy winner of the award. Listen, Brendan Rodgers will be as well if he wins the treble. You know, you might be able to phone back when it is the journalist's time to pick who manager of the award if it's not Brendan Rodgers and have a go at Roger Hanna sitting next to me here. But yeah, John McGlynn's done a fantastic job.
I think it's just the timing, John. You know, if this award's given out on the 5th of June and Brendan Rodgers has a treble in the bag by that point, he probably does win it, doesn't he?
Well, he will win the treble.
Well, nothing's guaranteed, though, is it? I mean, I don't...
No, it's no guaranteed, but I would say 99%.
Ooh, I'd give Aberdeen more than a 1%. I wouldn't give them a huge...
I love that.
Would we go more than 1% for them? Can we stretch
them
to... Can we stretch it to 5?
I'll give them 2.
No, I wouldn't give them 1. For the life of me, I'll never figure out how Steven Gerrard got it.
See, this is the thing. This seems to be the bit that's annoying you more than anything. What's that got to do with this year?
I'm just saying, manager here. Rodgers should just tell them, just don't nominate me any times.
I don't think
he'll be that bothered.
Yeah, I think in the year Steven Gerrard won it, obviously Rangers went unbeaten that full season as well. I thought the bigger surprise was the fact there wasn't Callum Davidson that won it, being a cup double winning manager at St Johnstone with the budget they've got, and you see
again,
what St Johnstone looked like since.
Was it given out before the Scottish Cup final though?
Yeah,
Callum Davidson.
Yeah, it was.
I think John's. The more we listen, I'm getting to the root of it. It's that Steven Gerrard won it. Really annoying him.
Could John McGlynn make it 3 in a row next season if he takes Falkirk to the top 6 or takes Hearts to 3rd?
Would he be the first manager ever to do so? Surely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There we go.
You're right though. I'm actually picturing that scenario now. If Hamilton won that game and he steps up,
and he has to go and get the award.
That could have been brilliant.
Managers have got away with one.
It's hard because, like, and then even like David Gray was in there, and I don't think it's again outrageous that he's in there. He's had a brilliant turnaround, a good season. It was probably going to be harder for him to win it, wasn't it? Because the comparisons with you know, Jimmy Tillene.
You know something, it's a really, really strange season. There's a lot more contenders for manager of the year than there is for player of the year.
Honestly, a good point.
See if you get down the leagues.
I think Davy Martindale even fell.
But you know what I was going to say? League One and League Two. League One has been won by Arbroath. Colin Hamilton and David Gold were thrown into that job
first
in August. First job. Peter Head have won League Two. Jordan Brown and Ryan Strachan thrown into that job. You know, young guys in their 30s, early 30s, their first managerial jobs and their title winners. Mm. Well done to them too.
Davy Martindale winning the SPFL Turf Trophy, getting to the quarterfinal of the Scottish Cup, taking it down to the last day of the season. There was a few nominees.
And again, we don't know where they'll finish, but Jim Goodwin, why not even get mentioned at all?
Stephen Robinson.
And again, rightly so for the consistency. But if you're going to go down that route, you would say right now, well, Dundee United are 5 points better off than St Mirren, and
first season up,
and it's their first season up.
Yeah, yeah, loads of good candidates.
1% chance of Aberdeen winning the cup final.
I'm getting them two all day long.
Roger, can I tempt you towards double figures?
Can you go three? Series three.
Honestly, I can't see it.
So you have 0% chance.
I'm not saying a 0% chance.
That's you make John on the line sound measured.
I just keep going back to 6-0 in the semi final at Hampden, 5-1 in the last meeting. I'd be fascinated to see, you know, there's a dress rehearsal for this at Pittodrie a week on Wednesday night, how that game goes, the teams that are picked for that game, and whether that has any influence on opinions and percentages going into the final.
Will you be reporting live at Hampden that day?
Probably. Yeah, I would imagine
with
so.
With 1% crowd, Aberdeen.
For goodness sake, this is like when I have to teach Gordon DL about percentages. You'd give Benburb a 1% chance, would you not?
What a tough result.
A tough season. They were a bad example. I just pointed because I know they're Andy's team.
I actually can't wait for Cup Final Day. You'll be commentating from Hampden. Andy will be commentating in the house. Just in his own head.
Shouting out.
Will you watch a game?
I will.
Baby in arms, maybe.
Potentially. And I'll be supporting the 1% team.
01419511025. What did you make of the award winners last night? Was it the right call, the wrong call? Falkirk fans, you must still be worse for wear. Not heard from any of you. This is your big moment. Come on, give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here. Still plenty of time to give us a call to look back on the weekend's big talking points. Always like this weekend in the season because you've got games to look back on, and it's award season as well, so we get a good debate about that. Your full time teaser tonight, it's been sent in by the sensible donkey who asks. I mean, this is just, you're going to hate this. I think you could walk out the studio.
Me?
Yeah, because
short numbers of stadiums.
You love the teaser, right? But this, we could tip you over the edge.
It's too easy.
No, it's not too easy. 8 players who've scored in an Old Firm game wearing the same shirt number as another goal scorer in the same game. Okay.
So does Dessers need a count?
They do. So it's the last 8 players who've scored in an Old Firm game.
Wow.
Wearing the same shirt number as another goal scorer in the same game.
So that's effectively, that's only going to be 4 games of football, isn't it?
Correct, Roger Hannah. 4 pairs takes you up to 8. Dessers and Ida, easy, yesterday.
That's mental.
Let's leave it there, because you've only got 3 more pairs to get. So
he says, take us a week.
Craig is in Falkirk on the line. How are you, Craig? How's your head?
Yeah, it's getting there.
Bit fuzzy.
Yeah, safety. I'm not thinking again for a while.
how long did the celebrations last all weekend?
Friday, Saturday night. After that, it's kind of over. Working today.
Yeah, please drink responsibly. Right, how was it? How good does it feel? Congratulations to you.
Thanks. It felt brilliant. On Friday, when we went 1-0 down, I was like, to my mate, I was like, we're going to end up balling it. But I did have faith in the team as well. So
did you properly fear the worst? You know, because obviously the couple of weeks leading up to that was a bit ropey as well, wasn't it?
Well, over the years watching Falkirk, we always do it hard way. And it wouldn't be Falkirk if we didn't do it hard way.
Yeah. What was this? It was a season, a couple of seasons ago, Falkirk were in the driving seat. And tailed away. Have I made this up in League 1?
No, they lost the season prior to coming up. I think they were second behind Inverness, but they blew it badly in a playoff against Airdrie.
Is that right, Craig?
5-1
at Airdrie.
That was where it all sort of went wrong. But listen, they've rallied. Craig will correct me if I'm wrong. I think the season before John and Paul Smith arrived, were you 6th in the 3rd tier in League 1, you know, at that stage? And you know, the way they've turned it around has been phenomenal. And the way that John McGlynn has given some of these players a second chance at a career, and they've responded and they've done particularly well. And I mentioned assistant manager Paul Smith. It shouldn't be underestimated. The man had a heart attack in the middle of the season and is thankfully back to full health, back in the dugout, and he needs to be at full health when John McGlynn's jumping on you when you, when you get promoted on a Friday night.
Just how big an achievement is back-to-back promotions, Craig?
I don't think I'll ever see it in my lifetime again, getting back-to-back promotion. Realistically, we only set up like for fifth, a budget for fifth this year. And we've done back-to-back, we're back in the Premier League.
I agree with Roger as well. I think there's so many subplots to Falkirk's success, and a big thing I do love is the individual stories of so many players. You know, Ethan Ross being a huge prospect at Hibs, and Calvin Miller being a big prospect at Celtic, and these players kind of falling their way out of the system a wee bit to go back a couple of steps to then come forward. And you know, Kieran Adams coming for Cumbernauld Colts in the Lowland League, Scott Arfield, you know, coming through at Falkirk, going on to have the career he's had, and coming back at the age of 36, it's been brilliant to watch. And not only that, you know, I like football in its purest form, Gordon. I think the style and the way they've done it as well this year, I think they've been the best team to watch with the way they play, controlling games, scoring goals. I think it's been a brilliant success story for Falkirk, and I think for the top flight as well. I think they're a really welcome addition into the leagues. They've had fantastic crowds, home and away. I think Falkirk have took a lot of a big support to the away grounds around the Championship as well. So, no, congratulations to them.
The previous caller thought Brendan Rodgers was robbed and John McGlynn shouldn't get it for winning the Championship. I'll take a wild guess. You disagree, Craig?
Well, yeah, but Brendan's going to win the treble this year, but I don't know, but obviously, but we've done the back-to-back and that, so you've got arguments for both managers.
It's actually his third, Roger Hannah. I forgot this until last night. It's John McGlynn's third manager of the year. He won it back in 2010-11.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, over the course of the... And
who was that with?
He would be the first to say that he's a very different manager now as well.
Did, listen, you know, because the whole Brendan Rodgers thing. Yeah, 100%, but I mean... When I first met John McGlynn, he was coming through. He was a coach under Jim Jeffries and Billy Brown at Hearts, and always really highly rated, always really popular with players. I always found, you know, whenever he went into management himself, and look at the places he's been, you know, Livy and Raith, as you mentioned, Falkirk. He'd been manager at Hearts when Romanoff was there for a period of time, took Hearts to a cup final. He's always hugely popular with the squad of players that he assembles, and I think never more so. This is his crowning glory, I would think. I was kidding on earlier on when I say he could get it next year if he takes Hearts to third. I don't think he'll go back at Hearts. I think that ship has sailed. But he will believe that with this group of players and a couple of sensible additions, he'll be able to consolidate Falkirk in the Premier League, Premiership next season.
Is there a fear, Craig, you lose him to Hearts or anyone else, or do you think he'll be there, the man to lead you in the top flight?
No, he's just signed a 4-year contract halfway through the season, so I don't think... him, but in today's money talks, if Hearts come in and offer him more money, I think he will.
Just to link it into another sort of topic today then, because I see that Derek McInnes seems to be building up a bit of steam, Roger. I don't really know what that means. I don't know, you know, how much it's true, but the name's getting mentioned a lot more in relation to Hearts.
Well, listen, it makes sense, doesn't it?
I think it's more likely than a John McGlynn.
I honestly don't know, because you've asked me a couple of times in recent weeks, and asked Andy as well, about who'll get the Rangers job. It's very difficult to say, because you don't know what 49ers Enterprises and Andrew Kavanagh are thinking of and how they go about appointing a manager. And it's the same with Hearts. You know, how heavily do they rely on this Jamestown analytics and the data to go and pinpoint a new manager? It all sounds great, it all sounds really modern and fancy, but when they appointed Neil Critchley and signed players in January, it's been dreadful. You know, Liam Fox was put in charge for one game on Saturday. None of Critchley's signings started the game. He put Lauren Shanklin back to centre forward. He brought in all the players who had done well under Stephen Haismith, and they go and they win 3-1 at Ross County, and they're safe again. So you wonder about the analytics. You wonder about the wisdom of committing so much faith into these analytics when there are guys like Derek McInnes, Stephen Robinson, people like that who are tried course and distance in the Scottish Premiership, successes at clubs a lot smaller than Hearts, with smaller budgets at Hearts than Hearts. So you wonder, you know, is it just sensible for once to go and get a guy like Derek McInnes, give him the budget that you gave Neil Critchley, and then just watch him go and do his work?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all that Derek McInnes is the front runner for the job. I feel like he's been linked with plenty of jobs over the last two, three seasons, specifically for the job that he done at Kilmarnock last season. With all due respect to Kilmarnock, I think it'll be an interesting prospect for Derek McInnes, sorry, given the squad of players that they currently have and given the prospect of a bigger budget they can deal with throughout the summer. So it'll be interesting to see. We laughed and joked about last week, you get the £10 million investment for Tony Bloom, you get Jamestown Analytics, and then you hire probably one of the most obvious candidates in Scotland. But listen, I think most Hearts fans would be on board with that appointment.
Are we missing the point a bit on that anyway? Is it not so, it's not about just getting like one appointment right, right now sort of thing? Is it's not supposed to be a bigger picture thing? It's not to say that this time in conjunction, I don't think it's like a random name generator, do you know what I mean? Where it just suddenly spits out something that you've never heard of. Maybe this time in conjunction with other parts of the decision making process, with certain criteria that they're looking for, because maybe part of that criteria is around whatever, having worked here, that Derek McInnes still becomes the man. It's not to say that if it's Derek McInnes, that means that Jamestown Analytics machine wasn't switched on and they just picked Derek McInnes. I think we because none of us really know how it worked properly, are we all being a bit, are we all scoffing at it a bit too much?
No, we're not scoffing at it at all. The one thing I would say as well is, if you go for a Derek McInnes or a Stephen Robinson, did Derek McInnes or Stephen Robinson buy into Jamestown Analytics? Because the way they have assembled squads in the past goes down a sort of more traditional method. You know, Derek works very closely with Russ Richardson. He did at Aberdeen, he does at Kilmarnock. A talent finder. Stephen Robinson, you will remember from his time at Motherwell, now at St Mirren, works very closely with Martin Foyle. They prefer to get their eyes on the prize, if you like. You know, they go and do their work on the ground and they look at players.
That's the point. You surely can still do that, but whilst maybe the first step in that process is that a whole new list of players that you didn't know are presented to you. You know, it's like we said, I think we've probably all been a bit, scared of shiny new things. They're just going to type it in, it spits out a name, and you sign them. That's not going to be the way it works.
You shouldn't be scared of new things, because Jamestown Analytics has worked wonders at Brighton. Before Ipswich came into the Premier League in England, it worked wonders for them in League One and in the Championship. The warning I would give you is, the first glimpse of its usage at Hearts has not been promising. Now, that could just be a false dawn. The summer, appointing a manager and bringing in new players could be a resounding success. But if you're at Hearts at the minute and you're Ann Budge and Andrew McKinley, you must be having a wee wobble about how much faith you're going to put in all of this.
I think a big thing I find interesting, and you can fact check this for me, Gordon, but I'm sure this is true, that in Derek McInnes' time at Kilmarnock, he's signed one non-British player. Now, Jamestown Data Analytics will be looking across the European market. They've already went out and signed the Vålerenga captain to sign for Hearts in the summer towards next season. So, Roger just mentioned there about managers buying into it. I think Derek McInnes will want to recruit a lot of players he knows and trusts. I think it's something he's done for a long period of time. Again, Kilmarnock fans won't thank me for it, but there's a couple of Kelly players that are out of contract going into next year as well, and I know we're speculating if he gets the job, who he could potentially take. But I think that alone, I think it's got to come hand in hand. I think a manager's got to buy into it as well.
Another Craig in Falkirk is on the line. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, thanks, guys. How are you?
How are you feeling? How are your celebrations?
It's been brilliant. Unbelievable. Last year was the first time I've ever seen Falkirk win a league trophy, so that's been 2 in 12 months.
You know, it doesn't happen every year, though, yeah? You do know that?
No, not at all. It'd be very difficult to replicate that.
If it happens next year, Jordan McGlynn will be manager of the year.
I think that's a safe bet. Just how big's the achievement, Craig? Sum it all up, what it means to you all.
Unbelievable. I think if you had asked any Falkirk fan at the start of the season, we would have took playoffs. And we're talking like fourth place in the playoffs, not even like second or third. So it's been brilliant and something that I don't think anyone expected, considering I think our CEO had said either at the start of the season or midway through the season that the last few teams to win the championship, and your Kilmarnocks, Dundee United, etc., they've all posted over £1 million losses to win the championship, and we're going to do it on a break-even budget.
I'll tell you what, there was one person, and we need, surely, when are we going to, when are we going to tweet the video?
Fantastic.
We need to give the man his credit. Get the video dug out, get it tweeted. Andy Haldy, do you know who I'm referring to?
I don't, I'm not
Jim
faulting on
Duffy. At the start of the season, before
right.
a ball was kicked, I asked you all to make any random bold prediction for Scottish football this season, and Jim said on camera that Falkirk would get back to back promotions.
Brilliant.
Simon Donnelly thought Airdrie would win the championship. So that's the level. That's the level of the other predictions that were in there. Jim Duffy said they'd get back to back promotions.
Terrific. A Falkirk legend, anyway.
He called it.
A former Falkirk manager, managed the club at 29 years of age, has always had a soft spot for them, and it's a, listen, it's a great time. When predictions come at the start of next season, he's in minus two.
Well, listen, let's give the Shug study slivers. We all remember his prediction as well.
He done?
He said Stephen Aismer, first manager to be sacked.
I know, but Craig Levein got sacked a week before him, I think.
Oh, did he? Oh.
Where he was,
nearly,
right.
Nearly very good.
To be fair, he said he would be out before Christmas, which I doubted, and he was, so we'll give Hugh a slither of credit. Manager of the year as well, Craig, well deserved for you.
100%. I mean, if Brendan Rodgers had won it, then fair enough, because, as you say, you can't really deny a treble. However, obviously everybody knows just how much of an advantage Celtic have with their budgets, even just to Rangers, never mind everybody else. Whereas we budgeted for fifth at the start of the season and we finished first, so we've well outdone our expectations. So, yeah, absolutely worthy winner. He plays the best brand of football I've seen Falkirk play in decades. Even the games that we don't necessarily win, we're usually in the games. We don't really get beat by a lot. Obviously, going to Celtic Park in September last year, unbelievable to go and play that way at Celtic Park. Also, we're not going to do that every week, obviously, because that was a one-off cup game. But yeah, absolutely no fear. Well, I say the only no fear. My only fear is if Hearts do come in for him.
Well, we'll wait and see. Thank you very much to the other Craig in Falkirk. That's two in a row. Other names and towns are available if you want to give us a touch. Get in touch, I should say. Do I give us a touch?
No.
Show just took a sinister turn there, didn't it? Do you know what? I glanced down and the sensible donkey's name like caught my eye, scrambled my head there. Can you name the eight players who've scored in an Old Firm game wearing the same shirt number as another goal scorer in the same game? Actually quite easy to start, because Dessers and Ida, it was the story of the two number nines yesterday, especially in that moment when Ida went through one-on-one at one end and missed it, and then up the other end Dessers scored. Any others?
I don't even know if he was number nine. Joe Garner.
Nope.
And Gil.
Who was the other name out of curiosity?
Dembele. It was
Joe Garner 7.
Dembele was 10.
Oh, I was saying, there you go.
You are bad at shirt numbers.
Coon and Diamandi.
Yes, Roger.
League Cup final.
Some shout.
Superb. Two down, two pairs down, two to go.
I may as well go up the road.
We will get them next. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. It's the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I don't know if Roger Hanna just shouted his dinner option down the mic.
Come on, tell the full story. Come on.
Well, we always, maybe you didn't, so just.
No, I definitely did.
We, at the last break of the show, always discuss what's coming up for dinner, and I just thought the mics had come back on while you barked chicken and pasta.
Chicken and bacon. Very nice. Very tasty.
My word. Anyway. And yours, Andy Haldy?
I don't know yet. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Okay. Right, on the teaser tonight, can you name the eight players who've scored in an Old Firm game whilst wearing the same shirt number as someone else who scored in that game? So, you've got Dessers and Ida from the weekend. Any others?
Yeah, we've got Kieran Diamandi.
Oh, sorry. Right, two other pairs then to go.
I'm only getting this as a complete guess. Just
tough, that.
When is Callum McGregor one?
Nope.
Right, okay.
Who'd be the other?
Well, did Diamandi not wear 42 when he first came?
Okay, I see where you're going. That's nothing. You don't have to worry about that.
No.
Cameron Carter-Vickers, 5?
No, he's 20.
Is he 20?
Close. Scales and Suter didn't
do
the
same. For the other two pairs.
Right. When you say last 5 years, last 10 years?
Brendan Rodgers' first spell-ish. Yep, Brendan Rodgers' first spell for one of them.
What was Tom Rodgick?
Nah, and way back.
He was 18.
That.
Barry McKay and Tom Rodgick then?
No.
Oh. Thought Barry McKay was 18 at Rangers.
19. Three along for you in the dressing room.
That is tough.
It is. Listen, don't get bogged down on it.
Doesn't help when you don't know squad numbers.
Only two pairs left to get.
Oh, I've got one.
Oh?
Was he nine?
Who are you giving us? Sasa Papak or something? And?
Oh, he was.
I'm just saying.
5-1 Ibrox, Lee Griffiths.
Yes.
There we go. Just
finally got the question. Right, only one more pair to get, so we'll get it before the end of the show.
That's the far away one.
It's the furthest back, yeah.
Right, okay.
It really is.
Yeah.
Right, gone then. The Steelmen secured top flight football again. 41 seasons in a row, way before I was even born. Roger Hannah can barely remember it. Sort of. What did you make of it? Happy? Relieved?
Yeah, I thought we were really good. I thought we had loads of control in the game. I think a big thing since the manager came in was he wanted to improve us in both boxes. He wanted us to be a bigger threat in the final third. And in the time of him getting the job with the lowest average possession side in the league, and he wanted to improve that as well. You know, you look at the weekend, I think it was 57 or 58% possession, with 15 minutes being down to 10 men, 16 shots on goal, 13 in the second half. Hugh Keevan's favourite XG at 2.7. So I think all the kind of stuff that we've been working on throughout the weeks has came to fruition in a big way at the weekend. And like you said, the character as well, to go down to 10 men and what was a really poor decision for Varane, the referee, and then to come back and show the character to go on and win the game and secure safety in the league. Obviously, I was tongue in cheek, by the way.
You'll need to play centre half, going back to Tynecastle at the weekend.
I'd love to play centre half. I'd love it.
Just for the avoidance of doubt, none of you or your teammates have any complaints about Johnny Katrumbis's red card?
No. And you know what? This is where I've got to praise VAR, because in the heat of the battle, in the heat of the moment, I just thought it was a fair tackle where he won the ball, and again, saying where his leg can't go anywhere, but seeing it back, he was open foot. His studs were up. It was high. Ticked all the boxes. Yes, so no complaints.
However, Dundee went in front. Portales with a lovely goal into the top corner. He then incredibly scored almost the exact same goal just before the break. It was eventually ruled out for an offside, and it was quite a confusing offside where Clark Robertson certainly standing in an offside position. He then comes back. Does he or does he not challenge Dominic Thompson enough? That was the issue. Tony Docherty not happy at all.
My huge frustration in this, the game today, and I have to say before I make the comment, I'm not abdicating responsibility as Dundee manager for losing the game. It's a game we should never lose. But the decision to disallow the second goal, in my opinion, is we're in a situation now where we've got officials that are finding a way to disallow goals. And it changes the absolute dynamic of the game. You know, we go in at 2-0. You know, you've got to then explain to the players, you know, it's an injustice, but come on, we'll do something about it. But there's no doubt the opposition gets a lift from that decision. You know, we should be going in at 2-0. Antonio Portales was a fantastic goal with his right foot in the top corner, and an even better one with his left foot. And the officials contrived to find a way to disallow that goal. So I'm hugely frustrated with that. And do you know what? If we just brush it under the carpet again, then this game for spectators is all about entertainment. And the entertainment comes from them watching their team scoring goals. And you've seen the reaction of the fans when Antonio scores his second goal there. And I just think it's a disgrace.
What did you make of it then, Andy?
I think it's really strong words, to be honest, for Tony Docherty, for the incident that took place. And listen, if it was a Motherwell player, I'd maybe feel aggrieved as well, because I think the incident in isolation is really subjective. I don't think the officials have, you know, broke protocol or not followed the rules. I think they've done exactly that. And then it's subjective in the terms of, do they feel as if Clark Robertson's interfered enough with Dom Thompson when he is in an offside position? I don't think it's a disgrace, a decision. Now, I'm honest enough to say if it's a Motherwell, if it's a Motherwell goal, it's disallowed, I could feel aggrieved. But I think we're starting to label everything a disgrace now. Any decision that's made, it's a shocking decision, and you know, the VAR and the officials are having a shocker. And, you know, he talks about how the officials in VAR are looking at ways to disallow goals. That's what it's there for. It looks at every goal and should it be disallowed in terms of different scenarios and whatnot. So I think it is strong words. I can understand why he feels aggrieved. I know I can only comment on the overall game. We completely deserve to win the game. Obviously, if it is 2-0 down, it's a bigger mountain to climb. But I think it's a really subjective decision. You can feel aggrieved, but it's far from a disgrace, I think.
It is a subjective one. This won't be a big Willie Collum says this was wrong one. It just won't, Roger Hannah, because it's subjective. However, quickly, in your opinion, if you're making the decision.
I thought it was a goal, but it's subjective. And as you say, when you meet with Willie for your next VAR review, he will not criticise the officials for the judgment they came out with, Gordon.
Right, quickly, one more then. We're looking for someone who's players who scored a goal in the Old Firm game whilst wearing the same shirt number as someone else who scored in that game. Dessers and Ida, number 9s yesterday. Diomande and Kuhn, both number 10, cup final. Kenny Miller and Lee Griffiths, both number 9s did it. Anyone else? It's two number 10s again, and it's in 2008.
Nacho Novo.
Yep.
Oh wow.
And the Celtic number 10 in 2008 would be
Scott McDonald.
No,
Hesseling.
Yes.
Well done.
Jan Venegor of Hesseling. Thank you, Andy Halliday. Thank you, Roger Hanna. We are back tomorrow from 6. Make sure you join us. Enjoy what is remaining of your bank holiday Monday. Hope it's a seamless transition if you're back to work tomorrow, and we'll speak to you at 6 o'clock.